This is the University Spotlight on Beyond the Headlines. I'm KUNR General Manager David Stipik. I want to welcome to the KUNR studios Provost of the University of Nevada, Reno, Dr. Kevin Carman. Kevin, thanks for being here today.
Thank you, David.
And we're going to talk about one of the university's leaders among the faculty who has recently received a national honor, Professor in World Languages and Literature and Director of the Latino Research Center here on campus, Dr. Emma Sepulveda-Poverenti. Welcome to KUNR.
Thank you for having me over.
Emma, congratulations on receiving some recent honors that we'll be talking about today, along with a look at the many facets of your work. But first, Provost Carman, Kevin, I know you'd like to welcome your guest and provide a little background.
Emma is an example of one of our extraordinary faculty at the University of Nevada, Reno. If I were to read off the list of all of her honors, we wouldn't have any time for a discussion. And so we're going to focus on a few of them today and some of the many activities that she's involved with. But most recently, she was named as one of only four new members of the Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board, and she was appointed by President Obama. And so that's a really significant distinction and a real honor for the university that to have her serving in that capacity. And she maybe can tell us a bit about herself, that she's originally from Chile, but came to the university, came to Reno and got her undergraduate degree. So she is a proud graduate of the university and then went on to get her PhD at the University of California, Davis, and ultimately wound up back on the faculty here in 1987 and has gone through the ranks and has achieved, again, just extraordinary recognitions.
And again, Emma, welcome and congratulations on your honors. Kevin, perhaps you'd like to start with Emma's national appointment by President Obama to the J. William Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board.
I would like, Emma, for you to tell us what this means to you as a scholar, what it means in terms of a national, really international program, and I know that you have significant international interests. So tell us about the Fulbright program.
Well, it was an incredible honor, and actually it took about a year and a half of investigation. But it was just a great honor, not only for me personally, but for the university. This puts our university in the world map. The Fulbright program is a bilateral program between United States, the government of United States, and 160 countries around the world. It was created by the efforts of Senator William Fulbright in the 50s. It was a time that United States really needed to show the world that investing in education, it will have probably a bigger impact than any other programs. And since then, it's been incredible. There are Nobel Prizes winners that they're former Fulbrighters. I just came back from Chile, where former Fulbrighters are among the 21 national prize winners. I think it's just an amazing opportunity for our university to be part.
How many awards are given on an average year, or is there a number of awards? Is that set?
It really changes from country to country. They are usually divided among student programs, and again, student programs could be research programs that they go to a foreign country and they teach as TAs. There are programs that students from all over the world come to the United States to do their PhD. The impact is amazing. I have just visited two countries so far, Chile and Argentina, meeting with the ambassadors of U.S. in those countries and some of the scholars and the students. And when I talk to Fulbright alumni, they repeat something that for me is very powerful. Fulbright changed my life. And I think we have not only changed people's life, but I think we have changed how politics work in different countries.
Mm. Outstanding. You established the Latino Research Center at the University of Nevada several years ago, and you are internationally known for your scholarship and have received many recognitions for that. Perhaps first you could tell us a bit about the Latino Research Center, and do you feel like that played a role and ultimately to your being selected as a member of the Fulbright Board?
Yeah, I think although our center is just not a huge center, but it's the only one in Nevada, last year was accepted as a part of a coalition of Latino research centers in the United States and major universities. And I think our work and our research has put us in the national map. And I think to be appointed to this board, probably it was the need to have more academic voices. We have in the board former ambassadors, people in the business industry, and activists and former presidents of universities. And I think my appointment was probably in different aspects. One was my connection with Latin America, because they need to make the programs in Latin America stronger. The fact that I'm familiar with research, so I have to review a lot of proposals and approve them. And every commissioner has certain areas of the world. In my case, I have Latin America and a few countries in the Middle East, Egypt, Israel, Jordan, West Bank, and Gaza.
You may recall that I met one of your mentees through the Latino Research Center when I came over and met with you and some of your students. And I'd like to talk a little bit about her, Yvonne Padilla Rodriguez, who's will be graduating this year and heading off to even greater things. And she was a finalist for the Rhodes Scholarship, for the Marshall Scholar. She received the Truman Scholarship, which is an extremely prestigious award. Glamour magazine top 10 women college students in the country, and just to cap it all off, won the Dr. Pepper competition at the national level, and just a remarkable uh-huh. young lady. What do you say? Tell us a little bit about Yvonne. She has a great story.
I think as a teacher, as a faculty member at this university, I had the honor and the privilege to mentor a lot of young women. But I have to tell you, in my more than 30 years, Yvonne has a very special place in my heart. She's a first-generation student. Her parents were immigrants from Mexico. She lived as a homeless kid for a while, and her only motivation was to become successful one day, so she could not only give back to their community, but to make sure that her siblings will never have to live the life that she lived when she was young. So she came to UNR, and I remember I actually approached her when we were in a meeting at the Latino Research Center when she was just one of the students in the group. And I observed her, and I knew some of the interest that she had in research. So I went up to her and I said, you know, I really want to mentor you. And she was sort of surprised. I mean, a professor approaching me and she wants to mentor me, and I'm a freshman. And I say, yeah, because I think we can work in projects together, and I like to sort of guide you, because she was a little bit lost when she first got here. And I have to tell you, I have not done a lot of work. She has done everything by herself. The only thing actually today I was telling her that I probably write about a letter of recommendation a week for her. She applies for everything, and she gets most of everything that she applies. She has an amazing life story, but she's also one of the most motivated students that I ever had.
And now she'll be heading off to graduate school this fall. I believe you just told me that she's going to Columbia University.
Yes.
What program will she be pursuing there?
Well, her goal is to do a combined PhD in history and a law degree. She wants to become a judge one day, and I think she will. And so now she's moving to New York. I'm really sad about that. That's the thing, that you mentor these kids and then they go away, and you want to keep them next to you. But we're very, very happy that we're working a book together. So we're going to be in contact, because we're going to be visiting different campuses and different places to promote our book. And there are stories of dreamers, young college students that they don't have their papers in the United States, but with the DACA solution, they're going to college. So Yvonne feels like she's almost a dreamer, because her mother was pregnant when she crossed the border. So Yvonne was fortunate to be born in the United States. So she has never forgotten that connection. And I had a lot of students that were dreamers. So we work on this book together. So we're going to be working in many projects in the future.
And the name of the book again was?
The Country I Call Home.
This is the University Spotlight on KUNR's Beyond the Headlines. I'm David Stipik, visiting today with Provost of the University of Nevada, Reno, Dr. Kevin Carman, along with Dr. Emma Sepulveda-Poverente, Professor in World Languages and Literature and Director of the Latino Research Center here on campus. She was recently appointed by President Obama to the 12-member Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board. Kevin, you were just talking about Yvonne Padilla Rodriguez, who Emma mentored, and Yvonne was named by the Nevada Regents as their 2015 Undergraduate Scholar, while Emma was named as the Regents' 2015 Creative Activities Award recipient. Would you like to talk about that award next?
I would like to talk about that. That was something that I had the privilege of being able to support and participate in a process for the Board of Regents recognizes faculty scholars in various areas, and one category is called the Creative Activities Award. And I've been now serving on these committees that make recommendations for the various Regents Awards for 3 years. And among all of them, I can say that this was a slam dunk. This was there was no controversy as to who the recipient should be. And I thought I'd tell you a little bit about what was mentioned in her nomination. One thing that's remarkable about Emma is that she's not only just an outstanding scholar, she's a scholar in a variety of areas and a variety of media. She has many internationally recognized books that have been received numerous national, international awards. She publishes in a variety of media. She's also an outstanding photographer and has been recognized many times for her photography. I mentioned her international scope, and in her nomination letter they talk about her recognitions in India, Japan, Malaysia, Kenya, Iran, Chile, Burma, Palestine, Ghana, etc. She is the only Latina that has been inducted into the Nevada Writers Hall of Fame, and that was in 2008. And talking about her photography, in 1984, she won the grand prize in the Polaroid and Porsche International Competition. And so she's been performing at an extraordinarily high level for many years. And I would also like to point out that this isn't an award that's just on a lifetime of accomplishments. She's still very much at the leading edge of her discipline in publishing. You just heard her talk about her work with a student at Yvonne in developing a book. Emma's an extraordinary individual who excels in so many ways as a scholar, as a mentor, as a teacher, representing the university and the state at the highest level on the Fulbright board, etc. So just a wonderful opportunity to be able to recognize you in this way, Emma.
Thank you so much. And I would have probably never been able to achieve all the things that I have achieved if I didn't have the support of so many wonderful people at this university.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what is your current scholarship? What are you working on?
I'm working in two books. I published a book that I was really fortunate to get the Latino Book Award in New York a couple years ago, and it was also recognized with an award in Chile. And I love that award because the government, through the Secretary of Culture, selects four books every year that they buy enough copies to put it in every library, public library of the whole country. So what a dream for a writer to have everybody reading your book. And that was the book that I wrote during my last sabbatical. And it's about the miner disaster in Chile that everybody probably remember, the 33 miners. So I moved to the camp, the mining camp, and I lived there for about a month and a half, taking different places in the camp and interviewing people, taking photographs. And I was interviewed in the international by the international press as sort of the only scholar in the mining camp. So when I announced that I was doing research, I immediately got the contract. So I did write a book, and it was a very successful book. And one of the miners that I met in the family I met in the camp, I started sort of doing more research in what his life was all about as a miner, and how this incredible tragedy completely changed his life. So now I have a new contract to write his biography.
As an individual.
As an individual. Mm-hmm. The other book that I'm working is a short stories from Latinas all over the United States, and is against domestic violence.
How does your photography play into your scholarship? Do you always take pictures when you're out working on an assignment, or do you focus on particular on photography projects as an effort in their own right?
You know, photography is always sort of a complement to some of the research. In this specific case, was wonderful to be able to document sort of a journalistic photography. But a lot of times I do creative photography, a very experimental photography with Polaroid. Actually, most of my photography training was here at UNR. I had a professor that I will never forget. His name was Ron Moroni, And I think he was the one that encouraged me from the beginning, and that's how I sent a series of photographs to this international competition.
The competition in 1984?
Yeah, $50,000. That was a lot of money for a poor student in those years.
That'd be a lot of money for anybody, even today. Let me ask you, are traveling also to Washington, D.C. As part of, has there been a ceremony? You're doing some meetings. What is it that this appointment by President Obama, what does this do to your schedule, and what are all the events involved in that?
You know, it's a great honor, but it comes like everything else with a huge sacrifice. It's taken me away from my writing. It's taking me away from mentoring more students. It's a lot of traveling. And each commissioner has about 1,000 applications to review. And in my case, I have those countries that I mentioned in Latin America and Middle East. And we also are sort of the ambassadors for the program. So I just came back from Argentina and Chile. Chile celebrated the 60th anniversary of the Fulbright in the country. So I have to meet with university presidents, with the ambassador of United States in Chile. I have to attend a lot of celebrations and a lot of meetings. I have to meet with former Fulbrighters, with the Fulbrighters that are in the countries now that they're doing research. When I go to Washington, is a meeting of the board. The commission, we have to vote in certain issues, and we also have meetings in different embassies or in different government agencies' office. In the first meeting, I have to do the swearing ceremony with another new commissioner, which it was a beautiful ceremony.
Well, the good news is you haven't been very busy, so you have plenty of time for all this, right, based on what we just talked about. So you have now a bigger footprint of your time invested in all these great projects. I'll ask one final question. I'll let Kevin wrap up here. What does this mean to you, though, this award, especially being appointed by the President of the United States as a representative of Latinas?
I think President Obama has been very, very good appointing Latinos and Latinas in different capacities, and I feel honored, number one, because it's sort of make me feel that all the work that I have done over the years has been a good work. And also, I feel fortunate that Latinos are going to have a voice in such an important board, because I think not only helping more diverse population to access such a prestigious honor as to get a Fulbright, but we can bring people from Latin America to this country. And I think I'm going to be key probably in that part of the commission.
Well, I know you're looked up to by many in our community, in our state, and now nationally. Congratulations on that. Kevin, I want to give you the last word as we wrap up here.
Yeah, and I would just add to that, internationally, she is she's really known throughout the world for her scholarship and the work that she's done. And Emma, we're just so proud of all that you've accomplished. And when you receive these recognitions, that only shines a bright light on our university and our state. And so we celebrate with you whenever you're recognized in these ways. But I want to point out again that Emma's not just off doing all of these glamorous things at fancy events in Washington. She's really, if you will, in the trenches with students. I've seen this. I've sat and visited with those students and seen Emma work with them. She really works with students on an individual basis, and so she's not drifting somewhere up at 30,000 feet. She's really making a meaningful impact on a person-by-person basis, and Yvonne Padilla-Rodriguez is just one example of that. So, Emma, thanks for everything that you do for all of us.
Thank you for your support.
And that wraps up today's University Spotlight on KUNR's Beyond the Headlines. Congratulations to our guest today, Dr. Emma Sepulveda-Poverente, on her national honor of being named by President Obama to the J. William Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board. And Emma, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure to be here today.
And Dr. Kevin Carman, University of Nevada, Reno Provost. Kevin, it's always great to have you with us in the studio, so thanks for your visit today.
Always a pleasure, David.
I'm KUNR General Manager David Stipik. Thanks for listening.